Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First Round Nothing, head on over to ecwpress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What are you at, boys? Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome to Tales with TR. I'm your host, Terry Ryan Jr. And thanks to Terry Ryan Sr. last week. Lots of great feedback. People love the old man's opinions and his stories more than anything. I'm going to use these episodes now, the A episodes. I get so many questions coming in. And thank you, by the way, for those of you that use Twitter. It's much easier nowadays to use that because it's least of my platforms. It has the least traffic and people ask publicly, which gets the conversation going. And my inbox has 8,299,533 DMs daily. So please go the route of Twitter. Anyway, I'm going to answer some questions. And, Will, I got a lot of you actually comment on the music. You like the music episodes, which I haven't done in a while. I'm going to get Paul Romanek back on again soon. And we're going to not only talk about the Beatles, but classic rock. I teased the Beatles episode. But I really think that's really specific, and I'm alienating a lot of the audience. But when Paul comes on again, we'll break down his favorite albums. It's probably going to revolve around classic rock for those of you that are into other genres, and I will, of course, get to those. I'm a big fan of music in general, but classic rock and influencers is probably what we're going to deal with when Paul comes on again. In the meantime, I'm going to answer some questions, and I'm going to try to do that during most A episodes because there's a lot coming in. Again, if you're going to ask a question, please do it through Twitter. It's the best possible avenue for me right now, given that the other avenues are extremely flooded. Hey, Terry, should Austin Matthews play the last two games of the season? Carl Victoria. Okay, Carl. I mean, this person's name is Carl Victoria. Whether you're in Victoria or not, Carl, thanks for listening to the podcast. And I assume you mean because he's going for 70 goals, do they rest him? Or do they play him and hope he gets 70? And is the pursuit of 70 selfish? On his behalf, maybe on behalf of the team, is it meaningless? That's what I'm guessing you're getting at. Now, one of those two games has already been played because as I speak to you now, it's April 17th. The last game is tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And for those of you that don't know, 70 goals is a huge, huge, huge milestone. Nobody's done it since the mid-90s, and the person, the last to do it, is named Mario Lemieux. There's only, is it nine players ever? It's less than 10 that have done it. And Austin Matthews is on the precipice for that reason of really doing something unheard of in this century. which is true. No one's come close in this century. Close being within a few. Now, there's a couple ways to answer that. The first one, I remember, do you remember when Steven Stamkos was going for 60 goals? Maybe it was 10 years ago, around there. I think maybe they played him Winnipeg, but maybe they didn't. But I remember him going for the 60, and they played him the last game of the year, and I think it was meaningless as well. In other words, you go for it. There's a lot of ways to unpack this. For me, the games are meant to be played. If he did have 70, I could understand resting him. But, you know, part of it, even if it's a small part, are fans here and expectations, right? So if I was a player, not only, even if it wasn't the rush for 70, and, you know, I would be aware if I was a great player, even if I was anybody in the organization making decisions to put Austin Matthews in. I know it's not a home game, but, you know, fans throughout the league, they pay to come see certain games. Well, to come see games, and sometimes they don't have a say. Maybe they are working, or maybe their kid, I don't know, had school or road trip, or they only had so much money to save up and go to the last game, or whatever it might be. Now, if you are a hockey fan, any sports fan, you probably assume the last couple of games of the year, guys might sit out. So I'm not overemphasizing this point. If it's mid-year, yeah, I hate that load management thing. Like, I went to a Toronto Raptors game 4 years ago, and Kawhi Leonard, you know, who's great player, led them to a championship later that year. But this was like, I don't know, like January, and he wasn't playing, and there was no reason other than load management. I'm like, you know, I'm a paid fan. I want to see this. The guy's in his prime of his athletic career, should be able to run around and shoot basketballs. You know, that's what you're being paid to do. And now if it's too long, then maybe the league should look at shortening things if their best players can't play. But I always felt like that. Now, of course, you can make the argument hockey's more physical, of course. There's a lot of ways to unpack this. I would argue, I guess, yeah, but any sport's physical. You can, baseball people consider to be the least, but you're stealing a base, or you're trying to get home, or you're chasing down a ball, or you take a bad hop in the face. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to get injured. And baseball, you're going from 0 to 100. You know, you're going to steal a base. You haven't done anything in 2 innings. You haven't moved. And now you get a sprint 90 feet, you know. So each sport has that risk factor. Now, outside of what I just said about a fan experience and all that, okay, I'm thinking from Austin Matthews' point of view, if I'm Austin Matthews, I'd love to hit 70. Okay, I don't want to be selfish about it, but I'd love to hit 70. And if I'm in my prime, it's not like I'm Mark Giordano here, right? And I probably need a break. I'm in my prime, right? So these games have been around for years. You're expected to play them. For the most part, I think we got 82 games now. Went up to 84 for a little bit. It was 80 for most of the modern era. So you're talking about modern players. I mean, pro players, not even just NHL. They're programmed to play the games, right? If tonight's game meant something, you wouldn't bat an eyelash. I mean, meant something in the standings. But to me, it does. And if you're a team, first of all, respect the fan base. The Toronto Maple Leafs fans haven't had a lot to cheer about since 1967. There's been some outliers, some seasons that playoff rounds were exciting, but they haven't really challenged for the Stanley Cup in a meaningful way, right? It's not like Ottawa or Vancouver. You know, those teams lost in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup final, right, within the last, in the modern era. And that's tough, but that's as close as you can get. Right, the Leafs haven't really done that. They did have some good teams, early 90s, early 2000s, that made a slight run, but they haven't had much to cheer for as a team. And they're a huge fan base, arguably the largest in the world. For those that really don't know, and you're just looking at teams, I mean, a lot of people I'm talking about are overseas somewhere. Like, Toronto's a huge city. Toronto's the third biggest city now in all of North America. It's massive. And Toronto, you know, the main sport, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I'm thinking minor sports people registered is hockey. It's certainly, you know, when people say, oh, Toronto's the center of the hockey universe, it's not just like, they don't just say that meaning it's biased. You know, Toronto's always going to be biased for the Leafs because it's the center of the universe. That's not just a sarcastic saying. My God, spit the marbles out of your head, Terry. You know, just by population and by minor hockey players registered, guys and girls, whatever. You know, rec hockey, beer league, minor hockey, AAA, AA, single A, whatever you're going to have it. The most people are registered there. It's the biggest population. It's not the capital of Canada. That would be Ottawa. But when it comes to population, it's by far our biggest city. So what I'm saying is that, and Leaf Nation goes beyond that, obviously. I'm just saying, like, just to put it in perspective for people outside of Canada, there's a reason the Leafs are talked about so, and there's so many media channels, and there's so much, you know, I don't know if it was, the states in Canada are similar in a lot of ways, but they're different in a lot of ways too. The United States has 10 times as many people as Canada, but think like New York Yankees or whatever, like a brand, the LA Lakers, a brand that Dallas Cowboys been around and been part of the fan base. And even people that, the Cowboys are a great example, even people that fucking hate them, love to shit on them. You know, they're a big part of the fabric of the sport itself, right? That's Toronto, and their fan base has had to look at Montreal. No Canadian team for 30 years has won it, but you know, over the years, Montreal won it. I mean, Calgary, other teams have knocked down the door. I just mentioned, even teams that aren't Canadian, just that come in. Like Vegas joined the league 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and they already have a cup and a final. They've already done way better than the Leafs twice. Since 67, the Leafs have not done that, right? So, like, the fans... Now, I would say this for any fan base. You deserve to see your best players thrive, right? But for Auston Matthews, for the Leafs in general, for the fan base, it'd be nice to have a player that scored 70 goals. That's a big feather in your hat. Not everything is about the Stanley Cup. I've often said that. One team is going to win the Cup. 31 teams are going to go home without it. 16 teams, their season is either over right now or it's going to be over in a few days. So you've got to draw success out of something. It can't just be based on the Stanley Cup wins. So what's it based on then? Okay, we're going to talk about team success. Okay, you want to win a round, you want to win two, you want to win three. Well, you want to win four. Let's say you win two rounds, you go on a great run, right? But there's an example out in Edmonton. They won a couple of rounds, like, you know, in the last few years. They haven't done anything significant, and nobody really even cares or remembers when they beat LA 2 or 3 years ago or whatever it is, you know, because it's a playoff win. But it wasn't a Stanley Cup. And the other day, they got to see Connor McDavid, the Edmonton fan base, another huge fan base, by the way, one of the biggest on the planet, and not with the population Toronto has. So, yeah, I mean, they're very hockey-centric as well. I mean, we are in Canada as a rule, but, I mean, Edmonton fan base is huge. I'm just comparing the two. And, you know, they got to see Connor McDavid get 100 assists the other day. Well, he didn't get 100 assists in one day, but he got his 100th assist. Right? That was big. Only three players in the history of the game have done it. Kucherov will go for it tonight in what is got to be one of the weirdest coincidences in my hockey lifetime. But anyway, my experience. You know, so I'm glad they did that. They'll remember that more so than they'll remember Edmonton beating LA in the first round of the 2022 NHL playoffs. You know, that's lasting, 100 assists in a year. Wow, three players have ever done it. Now four have done it, maybe tonight five. But, you know, very, very exclusive list. Same sort of thing with the 70 fucking goals. And it'd be nice to do that, right? So I think having that feather in your hat is huge for the fan base, the player, the team. I also think, now that's on its own, I think that it carries momentum. If he gets it, it's definitely, for me, momentum going into the playoffs. If he doesn't, so be it. I mean, you got 69 goals. It's incredible. It's the best year in 30-odd years. 30 years for a goal scorer. But, you know, if he gets it, it's fantastic momentum going in. For everybody, including the fucking player himself, who's one of the best in the planet, that's not far removed from a Hart Trophy. You know, people, it's still confidence. Show me the best athlete in respective sport in the world. Sit him or her down and ask them, and they've been on dry runs. They like to have confidence. It's like when Caitlin Clark just came out. You know, when she heats up, everybody gets watching. I mean, she's changing the female sport of basketball as we speak. But Caitlin Clark looked deep. Like, you know, like she is, it takes hard work. And even in the final, they lost, but she was draining. Like, she was on fire there. She, you know, 5-6 in a row at times. But that's momentum. That's confidence. Look at some game in November when she missed 10 in a row. You know, that happens. Steph Curry's awesome. What's a fucking unbelievable three-point shooting percentage is less than 50%, right? So less than half the time, the best players in the world aren't successful. A batting average, a fantastic batting average would be slightly over, 300. So you're hitting less than one out of every three. You're getting a hit, right? Unbelievable would be like 330 to 350. The last player to hit 400 was Ted Williams in the mid-1900s. To put that in perspective. And that means that he only got a hit 4 out of 10 times, not only, but for those that don't follow. So, you know, and with that, that's the law of averages. Sometimes he'd get 8 out of 10, but sometimes he'd get 0, because that's the way it works. And if you're an athlete, fuck, man, I love coming in on momentum. My coach, I'll tell you a story that a lot of you probably know, but my coach, Bob Laux, in junior, it was my draft year. Same thing, we're going into the playoffs. Do we sit the boys? Do we not? Do we call up some guys from junior A? I wanted to play. Now, I was on 48 goals going into the final year, final game of the season. Damon Lankow was going for the scoring championship. If he didn't play that night, he had 5 points. He wouldn't have beat Darcy Tucker. Brian Boucher, our number one goalie, right? No, not going for any particular record, but we didn't want to rest him. We wanted him to play. He wanted, in other words, you know, I'm going, I'm here. There's a game. Not every, you know, I should be able to play the game. If I get injured, I guess I could get injured at any point. It's a terrible way to look at it. That's what could happen. But I wanted to play. Brian wanted to play. Damon wanted to play. Now, first two periods, I don't score. Bob Laux takes 2 timeouts in the third period. There was also, I think, the game was on TV, so maybe there was a TV timeout. But I remember him taking a timeout and telling everybody, we're going to play Terry as much as we possibly can. There was another guy on the team, Sugar Ray, I call him Sugar, Ray Schultz. He hadn't had a goal all year. Tough defenseman. Ended up playing forward and pro a little bit with the Islanders. A nice cup of coffee, at least one season, or most games of that season. Sugar Ray Schultz. Never would have thought it in junior. Hard work makes the fucking NHL. But anyway, Bob sold the boys. He said, I'm going to play Terry as much as I possibly can. He played me, I'm telling you, the vast majority of the period. I get my 49th, about 9 minutes left from Lankow. 2-on-1, shorthanded. I fucking nudge it in with my backhand. I had no glove on. I remember my glove came off earlier in the play. Boom, 49. I get my last goal, my 50th goal of the season, with 28 seconds left. That clip is out there on YouTube if you want to check it out. I'm not bullshitting. 28.3 seconds left in the season, I get my 50th. And I can always say I was a 50-goal fucking scorer. And I joke around with the boys, Tuesday hockey, noon was the last time I said it, right? Get a nice one. I have 49 more of those 1 year, boys, 50 goal score. Like, I know I'm only kidding, but it's really is. I can, you know, there's only so many things to draw from as an athlete. And, you know, it could be over tomorrow. And I'd hate to see it happen to Austin Matthews, but it happened to me. You can get hurt and not be at the same form or not even be able to play the sport. Or you can play another 10 years and not have another season like that where everything goes your way. So, yeah, man, I'm so pumped that Bob Laux played me nearly all of the last period of the last game, which was meaningless. and I'm so pumped I scored my 50th, and I'm pumped that Damon had 5 points and ended up leading the league in scoring because of that. That was a game that wasn't just for us, though. It was all about us and the fans. The fans got to share that with us. They were going bonkers. The game meant nothing. You check out the clip. People going fucking bonkers. And I remember saying to Bob, thanks, man. Like, because Bob, I'm not programmed to want to miss games. You know, even if I wasn't on 48 goals. I just am not programmed to want to miss games. So, there's the momentum argument, which is sums up most of what I just said. But there's also, yeah, just like, you know, give me my flowers here. I want every shot to do this. I don't want to look back and say, Jesus, man, why did I sit out that last game? There's like an asterisk in my head for the rest of my life. Fuck that. And if I get 70, then hopefully I get fucking 20 or 25 in the playoffs, whatever. I'm the best scorer in the world. You know? I mean, not me, Austin Matthews. But anyway, that's the way I look at it. I definitely play him. I think certain things transcend the game itself and the you know, so-called over-preparation. I understand why it would be brought up to sit the guy. I do. I'm just from the camp that says, you know what, fuck it, let's play. I could stub my toe walking into the bathtub. I'm an athlete. This is my team, and I want to score 70 goals. That's what I'd be thinking if I was him.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Okay. Hey, Terry Watt. NHL Arena, do you think, has the best atmosphere from the fans' perspective? Okay. Billy. Billy, Arkansas, are you kidding me, Billy? Arkansas, I never thought anybody in the state of Arkansas listened to this podcast. I didn't consider hockey to be, of all the states, I would consider Arkansas just the most non-hockey obsessed. I would consider it not into hockey. What a weird way to explain that. I would consider Arkansas, of all the states and provinces, definitely the last five, if you could judge hockey interest some way. Hockey, do they even have minor hockey? I'm not knocking you, Arkansas, at all. I just know there's, are there any pro hockey teams there? Yeah, I've just never heard anybody, you know, I don't mean to be ignorant. Maybe I am. Maybe they're producing NHLers at an alarming rate, and I have no idea. I've just never had a guest or a question that came from a listener from Arkansas, and I don't. It's one of the states I haven't been to. I've been to 44 of the 50. I've been in Arkansas. Anyway, thanks a lot. I'm glad that at least one person in Arkansas is listening, so I appreciate that, Billy. Okay, so I'm from a fan's perspective. Are you saying, like, so if I'm a fan and I'm in the building, which one do I like the most? Or I think what you're saying going into the playoffs would be which probably arena is the best atmosphere? Where are the fans the best, the most raucous? You know, so I'm going to answer on that side of things. I'm not just saying it because I played in Montreal. And it's not like they had a ton of success in the playoffs when I was there, but a little bit. And I was a black ace for a run. They won the first round 1 year and they lost to Pittsburgh in the second round. And since I've gone up and I've watched games in Montreal over the years and plenty in the playoffs. Playoffs are not just Montreal. I really do. Maybe I'm being biased. I haven't been to every arena the way the other guys have, like multiple times, multiple situations. I have seen a game in every city and in most arenas, but places like Seattle, where I played in the old building there. I don't know what it's like in the new one, but I can pretty much speak for the fans, which were pretty fucking crazy. I knew Seattle would be successful. Because I played against their junior team there, the Thunderbirds, and they played, I think it was called Key Center. It was where the Seattle Supersonics, old NBA team, played. And, you know, check that out. Type in Terry Ryan, Kevin Pop, and you'll see a couple of fights, and you'll see how crazy that atmosphere was. But listen, so Montreal, I think the players would agree with me there. It's a phenomenal atmosphere, especially in the playoffs. You would think Toronto, and nothing against Toronto fans. I find Toronto a little bit, I don't know, businesslike maybe. I haven't really ever dissected it all together because every arena, I would think at this point, you know, the lower sections are probably dominated by corporate folk that don't care as much as the people in the nosebleeds. But you would think that for every arena. But I think in Toronto, it's a little more. Now, playoffs in Toronto are different. But regular, no. You would honestly think, yeah, doing the math, that Toronto being so hockey-centric, maybe the best place to watch a game. I don't really know. If I'm going to go see the Leafs, I'd prefer to do it, to be honest, in Ottawa or Buffalo. It's cheaper, and it seems to me that because of that, there are closer to the kind of real hardcore Leaf fans. That's just my guess. I haven't crunched numbers. But when I go to games in Toronto, I like going up in the nosebleeds. I do. I like going up in the 300s. People, yeah, it's good conversation. People are going fucking crazy. And even there, they're like $300 seats. So it's not like I said, but most NHL teams, definitely the Leafs, most true fans are like in their house or in their shed, in a bar. They're watching the game with their boys or their girls. But they're not at the game. It's just too expensive nowadays. But what am I getting to? Madison Square Garden. I love that atmosphere. It reminds me of even in the regular season, but playoff games there are wild. Again, I can't speak for everybody, obviously, and I've got minimal experience, but I have seen or played a game in each rink for the most part. And like I said, like I played one in Madison Square Garden, and I remember that vibe being just a lot different. It was a vibe. It's exactly what I expected from New York. And people are chanting all game, as they often do in Montreal. But I really noticed it. It was magnified in New York. Just could have helped the game I was playing. Of course, Wayne Gretzky was there. But no, actually, to be honest with you, that had nothing to do with it. As much as I love Gretzky and everything else, it was just a vibe. That was the very end of Gretzky's career. It was a vibe. And people were chanting the whole game. It reminded me of being at a European football match, soccer match. Now, Nashville is sneaky too, man. I've seen a few games in Nashville, and especially in the playoffs, that place gets vibing. So that would be my three picks of my favorite spots. If I was playing right now, I don't want to disrespect anywhere because some of those Vegas and Carolina actually does a good job. Like going into the playoffs here, like some of these teams put on a show. Vegas comes to mind first every time. But my favorite there, Montreal, Madison Square Garden, and Nashville. Maybe it's personal experience, but I think each place is a total vibe, man. Hey, Terry. Good job on Jason Greger. My name is Mike. I'm from Sherwood Park, and I want to know what kind of an impact you think Corey Perry will have in the NHL playoffs this year. Thanks for listening. For those that don't know, I co-host the Jason Greger Show on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Sports 1440. That's why I often talk about the Oilers, because I'm watching them so much, I'm most informed on the Oilers of any of the other teams. I think Corey Perry, I had Jason Strudwick on last night, actually, and he answered this. I tossed this question out to him. I think he's going to maximize his potential when he's on the ice. But as Corey Perry ages, he's definitely effective. Teams get him for the playoffs, I think, specifically. Other than the Chicago Blackhawks picking him up for the beginning of the year, that was more for Connor Bedard's sake. And whatever happened. That's water under the bridge now for me. But so you're either going to have him for that reason as a wily vet, or you know, to kind of help out the young players coming along, or you're going to have him for a run. Like, I don't think there'd be any reason for him now to be on the Montreal Canadiens, who are kind of in the middle. I don't think there's any reason for him to be on the Ottawa Senators. But I totally see with the Blackhawks, like, because they were just out from the beginning, like, just, we're going to have a guy in here or a few, Foligno, Jones, a few more that are going to help these young players. But here we got, with the Edmonton Oilers picked him up, they were thinking playoffs, right? When the Toronto Maple Leafs picked up Tyler Bertuzzi, they were thinking playoffs. So Perry obviously is not the Hart Trophy winner he once was. He's not the player who won the Stanley Cup in the 2000s with, I think, late 2000s, 2008 maybe, with Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Anaheim Ducks. He's more the player that went to the finals two or three years in a row recently. I know he was with, remember, he was with Tampa and then Montreal and someone else around there. He went to like three finals in 4 or 5 years, whatever it was. I would honestly do the research here, but it doesn't really affect what I'm going to say. What I'm going to say is that on those teams, he found a role. Montreal, that run to the final, I mean, he was a big part of that. Neither one of them was he breaking records statistically. He finds a way to get under other people's skin. He gets timely points for sure. He doesn't crack under pressure. Obviously, he's been there. So these are just games. Like, that's huge, man, going into the playoffs, because it can be intimidating. So there's a lot that he brings that I think is going to really come to the surface in the playoffs. Impact player is very vague. Impact, yeah, I think you'll have an impact. Will that be like leading the playoffs in scoring? Probably not. I would say definitely not. But he's going to draw penalties. He's going to throw teams off. He is going to get the odd point. I just don't expect him to play any more than like 8 or 10 minutes a night. Maybe 12, but no, you're not going any more than that. So knowing Corey Perry, yeah, he might even suck another good player into a penalty, maybe get him kicked out. You know, he's going to do things that get under the other team's skin. He's going to have an impact. Yeah, I do think he'll have an impact. I really do. It's just going to be limited given the ice time, and it's probably not going to be on the score sheet. But thanks for asking that question. And finally, hey, Terry, I'm a huge Maple Leafs fan, and I didn't realize Matt Murray was even in the cards this season. Neither did I, to be honest with you, buddy. I want to know, do you think he'll get in the playoffs with the Toronto Maple Leafs? That comes from Alan in Pickering. Alan? I had absolutely no idea until 2 days ago that Matt Murray was ever going to put on his gear again. I really honestly thought that he was mailing it in because he's been hurt multiple times in the last few years. He's under contract, so you might as well stick around and get seen to. You know, you want to get your body on the right page for the rest of your life. I didn't see him coming back in and playing the goalie position in fucking top level. Ever really, but definitely not this season. So it says a lot. For me, the most that says is that this guy, I had him pegged wrong. I mean, not wrong. He won the Stanley Cup twice. And, you know, he stood on his head. He's a great goalie. He's battled through things. But the last couple of years, I thought, yeah, he's injured again. He's injured. And not that I ever thought he was faking that injury. I just, let me reword all of that. I just thought, okay, he's had so many, right? And okay, I'm under contract. I'm obligated to go to the arena. But from Samsonov to Wall to Martin Jones, these guys are set. And A, I'm not needed. And B, I'm so far away from really returning that we'll have this conversation at earliest next September. That's what I thought. If he's fucking playing and he played for the Marlies the other day and he played well, then he must have really, really, really battled away from the, not away from the rink. He would have battled at the rink. I mean, away from the public eye, the Leafs are doing their thing. No one, I listen to a lot of radio shows, a lot of which are based in and around Toronto or on the Maple Leafs, and I haven't heard anybody bring up his name in thousands of hours of content. I've heard nobody bring up the name Matt Murray. And he comes back the other night and stands on his head in the minors? Fuck, man. I didn't think we were anywhere near that. I thought Matt Murray was like 40%, right? Is he going to ever play in the NHL again? I would have thought probably not. Not because he's not good enough, because the fucking guy got hurt. And it seemed to me career ending. And now he's back. Now, will he play on the Toronto Maple Leafs this year? That's probably a stretch, but I don't know. I suppose he's an option. I don't know how even good that option is. Is he going to go ahead of those three I just mentioned? For sure not. He's been off too long. But think about Vegas last year. They used three goalies, I think, that all played a part. They had injuries and they had slumps and whatever. If you'd said Aiden Hill would end up manning the fort, you know, at the beginning of last season to a Stanley Cup for Vegas, I don't think anybody would have believed you. Now, it's extremely unlikely. I can't even believe that we're saying Matt Murray just won a pro hockey game. But stranger things have happened. Injuries have happened. I will be as blown away as you. I really, really, really will, Alan. I would be blown away as you. I can't believe he's playing. I don't really know. It sounds ludicrous to me to play for him to play, and I don't even know. I guess going into playoffs, are there even, you know, how do they do? They can only protect so many goalies going in. How does that work? I'm not really sure. I haven't looked into it because I wasn't in any ways expecting that. So what I take out from all this is way to go, Matt Murray. Hard fucking work, man. To come back now, too. It's not like he came back in November. To work this hard, to come back and just be part of it at the very, very end of the year and not want to just make your money for nothing, you know, to want to actually earn your money, fucking hats off to Matt Murray. Congratulations on working so goddamn hard and coming back and you're to play pro hockey again in a year that nobody thought you would and in an era where a lot of athletes in a lot of sports in your situation would have said, fuck it. Fuck it. Most, I would think. So way to go, Matt fucking Murray. That's what I take from that. Okay. It looks like I got Steve Dangle, speaking of the Leafs, on the hook for tomorrow, but he's trying to see if he, that being Thursday. So I hope he can. I'd like to get his perspective. Stevie D, say what you want about him. He knows a lot about the Maple Leafs, and I've come to really respect his opinions over the years. At first, I thought he was just a loudmouth, fucking wannabe kind of guy, but you got to respect big-time fans that know a lot about their fan bases, a lot about their team, and really go out of their way to really dissect the numbers more than I ever could. And I'll say it before and I'll say it again. I don't think you have to be an ex-player to analyze things. I hate that argument whenever you're on Twitter or say in a media scrum or something and someone says, well, what do you know? Like, I played and you didn't. I think that's bullshit. If you put five ex-players here with me right now, we would all disagree on any, not all of us would agree on any topic you were to bring up, right? Not fully. You can show us all a hit that happens. Some of us will think it's clean. Some of us will think it's dirty, just like the general public. And I have respect for anybody that wants to really study the game and dissect the numbers and play GM or podcaster or whatever, or fantasy hockey. I respect all of your opinions. I really do. I don't think I'm any better than you guys because I played. Now, if you want to know what goes on inside of a dressing room or, you know, how long certain injuries took me or you take to heal. How do we prepare for games? Those are things that I could definitely help you out with, right? But, you know, these questions I'm answering, I'm just giving you back my opinion. And like earlier, we talked about Matthews and we talked about Corey Perry. And you know, I'm giving you my opinion. It's not necessarily right. You know, I really respect you fans and listeners. And I've come to realize doing this media game now for a little bit that people like Steve Dangle, a lot of you probably don't always agree with the media. And but people like that have worked hard to get where they are and to make a living at commenting on sports and hockey and their favorite teams. And I really do think that should be respected. So I hope he comes on, and I'd like to get his perspective on some hockey things, but more importantly, going into the playoffs here, his idea on where he thinks the Leafs are going to go here. Like I said, the only skin I got in the game is a good buddy of mine, Dave Roper, is the equipment manager with the Leafs. So I'd love to see them. He's from Mount Pearl, man. I know it sounds blasphemous for an ex-Hab to say that, but he's from Mount Pearl, Newfoundland. And if the Leafs were to win, I would be the first one right there to give Rope a big hug, man. I'd be so pumped for him. I'd plan the parade. I just don't know if they got it. I just don't know if they got it to win. But I could say that about every team. I mean, there's 12 teams this year, really. I mean, honestly, of all the years, I think this year anybody can do it. And I'll tell you this, if the Leafs do beat Boston in the first round, then they're on fire. That's momentum. I think it's going to be hard to beat Boston in the first round because of all the mental stress and anxiety and anguish that they've had to deal with when it comes to the Boston Bruins in recent history. Well, in history in general. Now, are all these players part of that? No, but it does weigh on you a little bit. You know what the odds are going in. You know the stats. You know the history. But that just makes for a better game. So the Leafs, at the beginning of the year, I would have expected a little bit more. Like, but I picked them in Edmonton at the beginning. So that's more of the Canadian in me. I really did think the Oilers, and I still do, have the best shot of the Canadian teams. But anyway, anybody can win it. And I think all the Canadian teams that are in are fucking in a good position. It's not like they snuck in and it's like, okay, let's just wait four and out. No. I think Canada's in the best position it's been in recent history, I think, to break the curse and win their first cup since 92, 93, when the Montreal Canadiens did it versus the LA Kings. Okay. So thanks for listening. I really do appreciate it, guys. And isn't it a great feeling if you're in North America right now anyway, and we're heading into spring and summer. It's my favorite time of year, those first few days of decent weather in March, April, May, and the ball is rolling now. Even in Newfoundland here, the weather has turned. You know, it's not overly hot. It's not hot out. It's not shorts, but it's 15 degrees. It's 10, 15 degrees, which is about 60, I suppose, Fahrenheit.
Hello?
One sec.
Hello? Hey, come in.
Oh, I'm on the air. That's my neighbor, Lucy. How you doing, Lucy?
I'm great.
Lucy's doing great. Thank you very much. That's my cue. I got to take off. If you're downtown St. John's, check out Trinity Pub, TJ's Pub, Rob Roy Confusion, Martini Bar, Green Sleeves, and of course the Bull and Barrel. If you're going to go for a bite to eat, why not try Loose Tie, Merchant Tavern, or Blue on Water? And also, if you're in the East End, try out Wedgwood Cafe. Peter Wedgwood also does catering at Wedgwood Cafe. Check it out, folks. It is awesome. If you want to change your life, you want to start working out, you know, you want to start living a little bit healthier, I can tell you exactly where to go. Ryan Powers Place, Power Conditioning on Rope Walk Lane. Strength and balance for the body and mind. Check it out, Ryan Power, Power Conditioning. If you want an oil change, you want to check out Mr. Lube for some reason, there's two locations. One's on Torbay Road, one's on Cambrown Road here in St. John's, Newfoundland. See Chris Sparks at Mr. Lube. Live, laugh, lube. Pitbull Pain Relief, the pain sticks that just don't quit. Go to Pitbull Pain Relief. Rightnow.com, sorry, pitbullpainrelief.com and see what all the fuss is about. And of course, True Hockey, take what's yours. I'll be back in just a few days, hopefully with Steve Dangle. We'll talk a little bit about the playoffs, the Leafs, and whatever. And next week, of course, we have more Tales with TR, and we have a couple of great guests. I will be in Yorkton, Saskatchewan this Friday and Saturday. From Sunday to Friday, I'll be in beautiful Toronto, Ontario, promoting Shorzy Season 3 and doing some color at the Allen Cup. Go Southern Shore Breakers. And I'll also be in Sarnia the following weekend to give a speech or two. Just follow me on social media. Follow me on Instagram, TerryRyan2020, for more details. I will be there soon, and I will be at the Toronto Maple Leafs game on Tuesday evening versus, now we know, the Boston Bruins. Good luck, Maple Leafs fans, tonight. Good luck to Austin Matthews getting 70 goals, and we're in for a decent playoffs, no matter where you are. Thanks for listening. Be back in just a few days with more Tales with TR.